I'm a sucker for a side mission. I'll go off and I'll do every side mission. I remember doing Dragon Age, what was the last one? Dragon Age Origins?
Inquisition.
Inquisition. And I did all the side missions before really carrying on with the story. I did every side mission you could and then did a bit of story and then all the side missions that had unlocked. By the time I got to the end boss, I went, and he was dead. I mean, genuinely, I'd overpowered myself.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forums Gaming Podcast for July 2024, the second in our intermittent series covering the very best of gaming and some of the worst, perhaps. And yeah, we've come back for our first batch of DLC, if you like to call it that. My name's Ian Collin, and for this latest podcast, I'm going to be joined by Gordon Balfour, who you might remember from the previous podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome a very prestigious newcomer to the team in Rick Henderson. So hello to both of you, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Hello.
Evening, Ian.
Quick overview of what to expect on this edition. We're going to be talking primarily about our gaming habits, our gaming preferences, and the various influences and elements that might impact on what we choose to play next, or maybe what we don't choose to play next. For example, always a contentious issue, but we're going to be talking about our favourite platform of choice, whether that's PC, whether we play console, mobile, streaming platforms, or whatever else fits in with our preferred style of play. We'll also maybe think about the kind of the genres and the types of games that we're interested in. And also maybe like just chat a little bit more about what helps to actually dictate the games that we choose to play. So do you prefer to go for single player, multiplayer? Do you like short games, long and immersive games? Is digital access making things easier with services like Game Pass helping to maybe influence what we play over what we don't? And do you just play when the right game comes along, or do you have like that kind of time slot that you have? So you only kind of, you play when you got a chance to play it, and then you just find a game to go with it. So we'll be covering all that and maybe a little bit more, who knows. So if you want to hear more, obviously stay tuned. Don't forget, you can watch the video version of this by heading over to the AV Forums podcast channel. Just to be clear, it's a little bit different to the main AV Forums channel. So if you want to subscribe to both, by all means, dive in. Just make sure you never miss an edition of the podcast. And again, you can watch or listen to the new AV Forums podcast. They come out every Monday. Covering a wealth of subjects. So you'll be covered for TV, home AV, hi-fi and movies. And then we'd happen to jump in when there's five Mondays in a month just to kind of fill that otherwise empty space. And if you do enjoy our content and our podcast as well as the many others, it'd be great if you could tell your friends, post links on groups and forums, wherever you think people might be interested. Word of mouth obviously helps to get us a little bit of coverage, helps to get the numbers up, helps us hopefully to do bigger and better things in the future. So if you can get the word out there about all the things that AV Forums does, that would be greatly appreciated. But let's dive in. So before we get into the meat of things, do a few quick introductions just to let you know who we are, basically. To start with myself, my name's Ian Collins, as I said. I manage the gaming and the majority of the news content for AV Forums. I've been gaming basically since gaming began back in the days of Pong. Moon Patrol's another one that sticks in my head for no good reason. Football Manager, all the Spectrum days. I kind of missed the Sega Nintendo generation, so I kind of feel like I missed the trick there. I was too busy being young and foolish, so kind of missed that. But I have got back into it when the Xbox generation and PlayStation generation rolled around. And yeah, basically everything's in his history. I've been playing pretty much most of the good stuff ever since. Yeah, I'm looking forward to some more good games in the very near future. So moving on to the rest of the team. Gordon, I think obviously got an introduction from you last time around. So if you could just give us a bit of an overview as well as to what got you into gaming and what you're into now without spoiling what comes later.
Yeah. My name's Gordon Balfour. I've been gaming about as long as Ian, since the Atari 2600 days, various consoles, computers and all kinds of things along the way. But obviously, we'll get more into that later. I'm also one of the moderators on the classified section for AV Forums as well. So just to prove that we are actually human, we do actually exist. What I've been playing recently, I finally got around to finishing Elden Ring. I've just started a DLC. Just come out of the Throne in Liberty beta. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Really looking forward to that in September. And just about to go into another beta starting today that's still under NDA, so I'm not allowed to talk about it. And I never thought I'd get to say those words for real, but I have. So I consider that an achievement unlocked. So yeah, there you go. That's me.
Great stuff, great stuff. And Rick, you've had quite an illustrious career in the gaming world,
Yeah.
as many of us will know. So, I mean, if you can condense it a little bit,
I'll
just
try.
give us an overview about, you know, basically, you know, your gaming origins and what you've been up to over the years, and maybe what you're up to these days.
Yeah, I'm Rick Henderson. I've got a similar background in the fact that I did start on the Atari 2600 way, way, way back when, and have owned every single console and video games machine since. Still own quite a few of them. I also, during my career, because I started as a games journalist in 1987, during my career, I've also been a presenter on Channel 4's Games Master and was a videator, the Violet Blade, on Sky One's Games World. So I've pretty much done everything I could do in media in video games. I'm currently on T3, not really writing an awful lot about video games. So it's quite a jump. So this is nice. This is great to get back into because I am a real zealot when it comes to video games at the moment. I'm absolutely obsessed by EA Sports FC 24. Unfortunately, it's more like it's a addiction, not a hobby, in the fact that I pretty much have hated the game for the last 4 months, but feel compelled to play it every single day still. But I'm also building and maintaining and growing different retro gaming consoles. So at the moment, I recently bought an Anabernic RG556 handheld Android gaming console, which is one of the only ones with an OLED 5.5 inch OLED screen, and furnishing that with every emulator you could possibly think of under the sun and making it a full experience. Unfortunately, it's taking an untold amount of my time.
Cool. I mean, whilst we've got you here, obviously both myself and Gordon seem to be of a not entirely dissimilar age, so we will remember obviously the Games Master days and everything around. I mean, we were talking in the last podcast about kind of the gaming industry and the strengths and weaknesses of over the years. So, I mean, even going back then and as things are now, what's your take? You know, what have been the kind of the highlights perhaps of both your career and kind of the gaming industry as a whole, and how have you seen change since then?
Highlight is that I started on Games Master. Well, I started on Games World first as a researcher, and because I was a journalist who worked in the video games industry, so they found it easier to teach me about the making of television than it was to teach somebody who knew a lot about television how to talk and be authoritative about games. And essentially, that was, I mean, getting onto Games Master then, because at the time it was made by friends. We were all really good friends, me, Dominic Diamond, Kurt Ewing, all of the people involved were really good mates. So it was basically us just farting about on television doing what we wanted to do, and it just so happened that millions of people liked it, so that was handy. I mean, in a way, I've often said that modern day influencers, we were like that then, because we didn't have a platform like online to spread our wares. We did it on television, but in a way they're getting equally in the same number of viewers based on their passion, and that was what we were doing then. So so the highlight was actually getting onto television and actually using something that I'd been doing since I was a tiny wee kid on a much bigger scale. But the other good thing about it was we got access to all the games way, way before anybody else. Got to go abroad and went to America and did lots of features behind the scenes at Bethesda and Sierra and Virgin Games and all the different companies. So I was in my young to mid-20s at the time. So it was like I was like a kid in a candy shop. It was unbelievable. And the reason why I say all that is because there are parallels. And the parallel is that at the time, it was the explosion of the console. Pretty much hit Games Master. When I started, it was we were still looking at ZX Spectrum and Commodore 64 stuff. But as soon as the Mega Drive and the SNES came out, especially, it changed the landscape. I see that happening again now, but in a different way. I think the days of the console are slowing down, and the days of the mass media, the idea where you can play on literally anything you own, are about to explode.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, and that kind of leads us quite nicely into some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. I mean, going through the gaming habits just to get into the meat of things. First thing we've got to talk about is the preferred platform gamings of choice. I mean, one of the things I just wanted to be clear about is that we're not going to have the argument about what's the best, or about what's the best console, because similar to what regular podcast listeners, if you'll hear Phil Hinton on the TV podcast saying there's no such thing as a best TV, there's only the best TV for what you need. So whether you want the highest spec PC, whether you're happy with just a console that does everything for you, whether you're happy with a mobile phone, just playing the cheapest, the free games you can get on Android, it's all great as long as it works for you. So the first question to ask you guys is, what do you play on? What's your preferred platform of choice these days? Whether it's one, two, or three different things, what are your go-tos basically? Sorry, Gordon.
So for me, I have, and I've got friends that listen to this podcast and they'll be howling now, but I have played every single console and I flip-flop backwards and forwards between them. And one week the Xbox will be my favorite console, and then I'll sell it and I'll buy a PlayStation, and the PlayStation will be my favorite console, then I'll sell that and I'll buy a PC, and my PC will be my go-to choice. So I have literally been all over the place, apart from handheld is something that I've never ever got into at all. I can honestly say, as I sit here, that I've never played a Zelda game, and I never got into Game Boy or all that kind of thing, or any kind of handheld. And I think the way that how you start gaming kind of that kind of goes through your entire history, and I've now got no interest in handheld gaming at all. I don't play on my mobile, don't play mobile games at all. I don't have a Steam Deck or anything like that. I think that how handheld gaming has evolved over the years, and that now you can now take a full-blown PC with you on the plane. I think it fits in your, well, it doesn't quite fit in your pocket, but it almost fits in your pocket. I think I agree with Rick. I think mobile gaming, the numbers for mobile gaming are absolutely insane compared to console and PC gaming. And I think the companies are just Xbox spent a lot of money buying Blizzard, but they got King as well. And I think King was kind of what they wanted, really, because that's the thing that makes all that that's the thing that makes the money for them. So yeah, I think it does kind of go across all the way through, but I don't have a preferred genre. I will play whatever I feel the games are on that I want to play. But I think if I had to choose one, if you made me sit down and said choose one, it would be PC for me. But again, it has its ups and downs. I think it's more cutting edge. It's more, sometimes the graphics do look better. There's more choice, the whole modding community and things like that on PC. But then you've got the whole upgrade-itis, where your graphics card is out of date within 3 months, and then you change your graphics card. Oh, now your RAM's not compatible, so you need more RAM. Oh, hang on a minute, that's not compatible with your CPU, so then you need a new CPU. Oh, that's not compatible with this motherboard because this is an AM7, not an AM6, and you end up building a whole new PC every couple of years. So, but I think that has kind of slowed down a little bit now as well. So I think we're up to 4090 now, and the 4090's been around for a while. I know the 50s are on the horizon, but we seem to have gone quite quickly up to this point, and now I think it's kind of slowed down a little bit. And I think they're talking about the PS5 Pro, and I don't think this console generation's really got started yet. So I don't think there's a market for that at all. But that's another thing. But yeah, that's me. I play everything. I'm a bit loose like
And
that.
does the same apply to you, Rick? I mean, you say you've played every console that's come around, so do you
Yeah.
still keep a few around and
Well,
play a bit of everything?
I'm largely platform agnostic. It really depends on the game. I mean, as Gordon just said, I Starfield. I suddenly put the Xbox on for EA Sports FC 24. I'm constantly on the PS5. And if I had a choice of a game, and then I had to choose what platform that same game was available on everything, and I had to choose which platform, it would always be PS5. But that's because more of my friends are on PS5, and
I think that's
that's
got a lot to do with it as well. That's a
yeah.
good point. What all your mates are playing on.
So if you're playing an online game, you absolutely need to be play most of the time. Some have cross play, but you most of the time you would have to kind of limit yourself to one platform. However, I kind of, and my wife hates this, but I kind of fill every waking moment with some form of game in my life. I can't not be fiddling with something to just keep my attention. So when I'm not playing on the console, I do play retro games quite a lot on handheld devices. And this is where I differ in the fact that I've always had handheld devices, and I've always think I'm not a big mobile gamer. I don't really play very much in mobile. The only thing I play on iPad, for example, is Football Manager, and that's it. But the because I can't stand touchscreen controls, I never have liked them. But I absolutely adore sort of the Switch for certain games. Like I said, I mean, I'll show you. This is the Anna Burnick that I've just recently bought, and I'm currently setting it up to play just about everything. It plays PSP games, for example, at 1080p in OLED. It's like you would never have seen that before. It's just ridiculous. So I do fiddle with that constantly. I've been playing a lot of Micro Machines, for example, the old Mega Drive Classic, a hell of a lot of it. I suddenly went, oh my God, I love this game. And that was it. I was just obsessed for a while. I've even got, there's another thing that's really taken up a lot of my time. It's the, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's Playdate. And it's the little machine that was designed by Teenage Engineering. It's got a crank on the side.
Wow.
So some of the games use this little crank mechanic. And it's just, again, every single game, it's all black and white. They're made specifically for it. And it's just a tight, it's lovely little time waster. It's a lovely little, what do the kids call them?
Fidget spinner.
Spinner. Yeah, exactly. It's the modern day equivalent of a fidget spinner.
Do you find we were sorry, just to go back to
Yeah.
the anaerobic, we were talking before we come on air. Do you find that retro games have age well or not? Because for me, I don't think they have. I think there's a lot of games that I played when I was a kid that I look at now and think, how did I put hours and hours into that? This is rubbish. So
Most, yes, mostly yes, but then you will get the occasional one that you just go, the gameplay on this was so clever at the time that it has aged.
yeah.
It's been perpetual. I think anything that pretty much Nintendo made has really aged well.
Yeah.
But like I say, Micro Machines, I went back to that and suddenly went, this is really good. This is as a game, it still works. The concept works really well, and the simplicity actually makes it better. And it's rare that happens. That most games you'll load them up and you'll go, this is rubbish, like, comparative terms to today.
Of course.
And
Yeah,
you'll go,
yeah.
and the thing is that a lot of the games, like for example, I've been putting PSP and I've been playing Burnout, one of the Burnout games, and it doesn't play that well in comparison to today because there are modern day equivalents. Whereas the ones that actually really work are the things that haven't been bettered.
Yeah.
So it's and there are lots of them. That's just what I've discovered. There are actually more than I imagined. There's more than I remembered. And that's what really draws me to the retro gaming revival, which is
Fair
going
enough.
through a ridiculous boom at the moment. It's the retro gaming revival is so massive. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Atari 2600 was re-released as the Atari 2600 Plus, which I also have, which takes the original cartridges, and even the joysticks are use the same connection, so that you can use old joysticks or new joysticks. You can buy new the old cartridges from the thing now. And I was just, oh, this is the best games console ever. This is the best retro games console ever. It's the best thing I've ever had. It reminded me exactly as the thing until I started to play.
You're like,
And I suddenly
what
went,
is happening? What am I doing here? I
this
think,
may not
no,
be.
it doesn't work.
And some of the games, and again, this is back to that. It's like a game that for the Atari 2600 always stuck in my head as one of the best games I've ever played was Superman. When you play it again now, you realize that there's no game. There's not a game. It's literally you just fly around, occasionally picking up Lois Lane and putting her in a phone box. That's about it. And you suddenly realize there is nothing to this. However, and then back to what I was saying, Space Invaders, Missile Command, Asteroids, Defender, they all play brilliantly still Atari 2600.
That's interesting.
You just hope the modern developers will learn a few things that, visuals can age, but gameplay is eternal. So, focus on the good stuff.
Of course. 100%.
We live in hope. But okay, so when it comes to the kind of games that you want to play on your whatever your con oh sorry, I didn't even cover myself, did I? I should
No,
probably
go for it.
I should probably weigh in a little bit here first. Because yeah, I'm a little bit of an outlier because I do have a bit of an affiliation to the Xbox. But that's primarily because when I first got back into gaming, it happened to coincide with me getting a job on an Xbox magazine. So I kind of had a brand loyalty built in. I should point out for the record that I have since I've worked on PC magazines, I've also worked on PlayStation magazines. So I've kind of seen a little bit of all worlds. But Xbox has been the one that you go back to. I mean, like Gordon said earlier, you do have an affiliation that kind of links back to your past. So I probably do have that kind of that early hands-on with the what would have been the original Xbox and then progressing to the Xbox 360 kind of stuck with me. To the point where I mentioned it's a bit of a silly thing, but the reason why I still prefer the Xbox to the PlayStation is simply the controller. I've got so used to this kind of big chunky controller fitting that when I switch to the PlayStation 4 or the PlayStation 5 and it suddenly seems tiny and I can't quite the shoulder buttons don't quite get there. And so it is just kind of more of a personal preference, I think. I mentioned the whole no such thing as the best, which is why I hate the there's the best console arguments and all those kind of things, because the differences can be so fine, in my opinion, that it can literally boil down to some wafer thing fact like that that kind of leads me in that direction. And I've kind of become a bit of an achievement whore over the years as well. So I'm kind of signed up for good for that. The other thing I want to add is that I do play a fair amount of mobile games. Nothing big, nothing expensive. It's just basically, so I've got something to play when I'm out and about, or I'll have one of those games that you can kind of dip into first thing in the morning, just set a few things up. I mean, the classic example would be something like Simpsons Tapped Out, which I'm not sure if it's still going along, but I had that on my phone for ages just because you could sort of, 8 o'clock in the morning, having your tea and toast, whatever, you just send these little guys off, do their thing, check in again maybe 6 o'clock at night when the day's done. And it's kind of gaming but without any kind of real commitment. But obviously when it comes to the big kind of gameplay sessions, then tend to be Xbox. But I do still have a PS4 around, a DS as well, which I still keep, can't quite get rid of. I'm kind of get tempted into that from time to time. But yeah, but then like you say, it's all about the games as well. So to go back to that question about how you choose your games, I mean, you kind of mentioned a few things earlier, like you mentioned, EA Sports being kind of a go-to for you, or EA Sports FC, I should say. So does that tend to drive what you look for? Do you look for the is always going to be the next EA Sports, or is it going to be, sports titles, or do you have other genres that are kind of in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, I'm not really brand specific when I choose a game. But I am genre specific because there are certain games I am just absolutely pants at. And anybody who watched me back on Games World on Sky One, because I actually ended up, I used to play competitive games. The part of the show was I played competitive games against children who were trying to win prizes. And if they knew that they were going to face me at a fighting game, they knew they were going to win. Football game, they would lose. It's that simple. So I've never gravitated towards anything to do with Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken. I've always tried to avoid them because I'm just not good at them. And similarly, multiplayer first-person shooters, I am awful at. I die so often, they're not fun, and I don't see the point if you're not having fun. So I try to avoid them. I do like single player FPSs though. So, I'm still a sucker for a Call of Duty if it's got a good campaign. But we've had a few fair few years where the campaign has lasted for about 4 hours. So it's a bit disappointing. But yeah, so what I'll do is, I mean, some of the games will reflect my passions in life, i.e. football. I'm a massive football fan. So therefore, I will gravitate towards that. I'm a massive comic book fan, so I gravitate towards Marvel games. Specifically, like another one we were talking a bit earlier, and I said what I'm playing at the moment. Actually, I'd forgotten to mention Midnight Suns. I've gone back to playing Marvel's Midnight Suns because a lot of the DLC was available in a sale. So I sort of went, all right, I'm going to snag all the DLC. I'll go back to that. But the main driver of a game for me, main thing that makes me go, I really want to play that, will be word of mouth. And by that, it's either reviews. I still religiously sort of scour the internet for good reviews. Or I've been sent the game and I'm reviewing it myself.
I was going to say, you've got to be reviewed yourself. So.
I've quite liked it.
Yeah.
I do think that's hugely important. I do think that it will surface a game. Like there's one that's just hit Xbox Game Pass, Dungeons of Hinterberg.
I'm playing that at the minute as well.
Yeah, and that's excellent. That is really good, but it would probably go under the radar of most. So that's an important part of Xbox Game Pass for me and gaming services, is that that surfaced purely because of that platform. Now, I might not have ever played that otherwise, and yet I love it. So there's another reason.
Sure. It's interesting you say that you play EA Sports FC because you love football. I wouldn't say I love football. I like football. I've kind of fallen out of love with it a little bit, but again, that's a story that's for another podcast. I hate console football. Can't stand it, which is weird, isn't it? Because I can think of nothing worse. And in fact, I tend to kind of stay away from sports games altogether, apart from PGA Tour. So I'll play PGA. I'll play golf. I'll play console golf. Can't play golf to save my life in real life. I've tried it, believe me, but it doesn't work. So it's weird that you say that you play it because you love it, but I love the actual real thing, but can't stand the console version. So it's kind of weird that way.
And the irony is, I do play golf and I'm not as keen on golf games.
There you go, see?
So, yeah, there
I'm kind of the
you
same
go. It's
blood.
interesting that.
I'm a big football fan, and I don't get FIFA. I've played it a lot. I've reviewed it a lot, and it just annoys me because it's not quite what I want it to be. Because I played a lot of football as well. I talk about missing the Sega and the Nintendo days, mostly because I was playing football on Saturdays and Sundays, which took up most of my spare time. And yeah, so when I'm playing, life's freaking out, and it's just not right. I want to make this pass. I want to be able to do that through ball. I want to make that right. And the AI is not quite in sync with what I want. So it's just, it is those kind of little niggling idiosyncrasies that that get me down. And also, like Rick, I suck at fighting games as well. So
It was like I was saying
I avoid
earlier,
those.
though, with EA Sports FC, it's not a football game, really. It's an algorithm game. It absolutely is. And all the people that are really good at it, all the EA Sport, all the FC 24 influencers, they always talk about the fact that they've managed to see what animation is coming up next to know how to counter that animation. And in many ways, that sort of goes back on what I was saying about Call of Duty as well, in the fact that it's not a fun first person shooter. It's a game where people play it who can, they're not gaming the game, but if you know what I mean, they know exactly how a certain pixel is going to work in a certain scenario and what certain gun is going to be able to shoot at a certain velocity around a certain corner. So it becomes work. And unfortunately, that's what FC 24 is for me. It feels like work, but it feels like work I cannot put down because I have invested so much time into it and so much of my that I've got to such a certain level that I don't feel I can just break away from it. Now, I get that opportunity once a year when the previous game finishes and there's no more content and the next one's not yet out. There's that window of opportunity for about 3 weeks where I could say, that's me, I'm tapping out. And then I get sent it for review.
And did you like in Godfather, just when I think I'm in, just
Yeah,
be back in.
drag me back in.
Also, and like you talk about like first person shooters as well. Some it I've got a job, I work, I've got a family. So some of us I've got some mates that I play with, and we'll sit down and we might only have 2 hours every 3 nights a week. So we'll sit down at 10 o'clock at night, and we're playing against people that play 8 hours a day solid, and they know these maps inside out. They know which guns are the best guns, like you say. They know where all the good points are and everything. And it's just
Exactly.
you just sat there and you just like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? The little time I've got for gaming, and now I tend to gravitate away from that because I can't stand it. And we'll play something like Valheim. We'll play co-op games instead, where it doesn't matter that we can only be on for 2 or 3 hours at a time. The game doesn't progress without us, and it's time that we get to spend together and do stuff together. Whereas, yeah, that way you're competing against people that are playing 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. You've just got no chance against these people. You know, Valorant, when it first came out, I played Valorant when it first came out on PC. And my very first game, I think I was in like the top three because I'd actually played a bit of the beta and I was playing against people that had never played it before. Now, I wouldn't even go anywhere near it. I wouldn't last 5 minutes, you know, but because now people know the game, they've figured out the game, they play it day in, day out. Those sort of games you can't dip in and out of. And then just moving on from that, talking about my own preferences, that's why I prefer single player RPGs, because that is something that I can dig at my own pace. I can do on my own time. I can do whatever the hell I want when I want. And you're not being dictated to by somebody else, and it's not going to move along without you. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same. I pretty much agree with pretty much everything both of you guys have said. I don't know whether that's something to do with our age, or whether it's like
Yeah, maybe. Who
more
knows?
of a
Yeah, but
widespread
I
thing.
find
But
I've
yeah.
got more time for gaming now, but I'm still not as good as I was, you know. And yeah, maybe that is down to the reflexes aren't
Yeah,
quite what they
maybe the
used to
Twitch
be,
skills are
mate. You
going a
know.
little bit, I
Yeah,
think.
that's it.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
likewise, you know, I'm very happy with like RPGs, you know, sort of. Or, you know, the whole action adventure genre where you can just immerse yourself into it for hours now and basically play at your own pace. But then that said, I'll generally have two or three things on the go at the same time. So I do have something of a fast-paced shooter as well. So if you do just want to get your pew 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 on, you can kind of jump into that. I mean, looking at the last three games I've played, it's the Fallout 76, got into that. You know, and again, enjoy the open world experience as there's multiplayer elements going on. I was playing it. You know, like up to about level 100, something like that. Thought I was doing okay. Then you jump into like a party event, and there's guys know like level 1,000. They've all like got all the power armor, all suited up, just obliterating the landscape and like just these massive rockets. And I'm just there in the background, going pew pew, just kind of hoping
Picking
for
up all his loot
the
as he's going by this like
yeah, just
high
yeah,
end loot, watching
because
your XP go bing 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 bing.
yeah,
Yeah.
just play that trick. All you need to do is shoot the dude once, and you get the
Yeah,
full
that's it.
XP
And
for
you
when he
get yeah,
kills
that's it.
his
Yeah, yep. Yep. Been there, done
Yeah,
that.
I mean, the other game I've been playing was Callisto Protocol, which is like, you know, that kind of slightly more slow burning kind of action sort of survival type game. I play quite a lot of survival games as well, sort of, you know, the No Man's Sky Ark survival, that kind of stuff as well. Minecraft stuff, again, you can just kind of immerse yourself in, and you know, you start playing at sort of 2 o'clock in the afternoon, think you've only been on it for a few hours, and you know, it's dark outside.
I found that I've become a real wuss as I've got older. I used to love the 80s horror films and all that sort of thing, and the Resident Evils, etc. But now I can't. I tried to play Callisto Protocol, and the new the Dead Space remake, and I just panic. It's really odd, but I've become a complete wuss. I just can't play survival horror anymore.
To be fair, I
It's
did play
weird.
Callisto Protocol on easy mode
Yeah.
because it's one of those that's really annoying. You know, has the jump scares in it, and you just two hits and you're dead, and it was just like, oh, I can't be dealing with that. You
Yeah.
know, I don't have the time. Put it on easy, just blast through it, be awesome.
I might give it another
Yeah, play it on easy. There's my top tip. I think that's something we might come to.
Rick, top tip for you, don't go to the cinema and watch Long Legs, mate, if you don't like horror
Oh,
films.
no.
That's just my top tip for
Well,
today.
no,
So.
thank you. I can miss that. And again, just one of the other things I've been playing lately is tapping into the whole kind of other people are awesome at it thing. I got back into Battlefield 2042 just because I wanted that kind of action. And I know it's annoying as heck. It's better than it was when it launched, obviously, but you know, it's still fun. But it's just littered with people that have been basically playing it solid for 4 years or however long it's been out now. And you know, game starts, I'm like, yeah, let's go. And then you respawn, like, right, where am I going now? But you know, I kind of persist. And it's just like one in every 10 games, I'll do something quite good. And that's just about enough for me. But yeah, I tend to like download it and then delete it every kind of like once a year. I'll play it for like 2 months, go, never again, never again. Then
I
like
think
this time next year, I'll be like, oh,
yeah,
maybe.
a little bit. If you played like Battlefield 2042 and stuff like that, where it's a squad based system and there's four of you in a squad, I think you don't need to play it quite so much, because if you, you know, you, if you work to your strengths that as a team, how the game was meant to be played, then a lot of the time you will do quite well. I think if you play it on your own, you do struggle a little bit, because, you know, the game's designed around having a medic and having somebody on assault and having somebody that can kill tanks and stuff like that. And if you can find a good group of you that play together, a game like that, that's the difference between Call of Duty and Battlefield for me, is that Call of Duty is very much a, you know, you're on your own the whole time. Even when you're playing, you know, even when you're playing objective based stuff, people are just, you know, they're just killing for the sake of killing and not playing the objective and stuff like that. And there's nothing that winds me up more. So when, if you can find a decent group to play a game like Battlefield with that's more designed around squad play, then you do tend to enjoy it a bit more, and you don't need to have played it quite as much. So that's just something that I've found as well.
Yeah, that's kind of my go-to. If I've just died repeatedly for like three rounds, I'll just quite happily jump in and just be like the medic or the recon guy.
Yeah,
just standing at the back, soaking up XP, but just not adding to the kill cap.
That's the beauty of Battlefield, is that you can do that. You can not kill anybody and still come top of the leaderboard. And that's why it's, you know, I mean, I have played Battlefield since 1942, loved it all the way through, apart from this last one, which I thought was rubbish. But, you know, you can, you don't, it's playing the objective. You know, if you are a healer and you heal people, you'll score points, and you could score, you can go higher up the leaderboard without killing anybody. And, you know, that's a big attraction for me, is it's not just about how many people you can shoot in the face, you know, it's about actually doing something else. And
everyone's
like about it.
Yeah, of course. One FPS I do play an awful lot is Destiny 2. And for that reason,
don't even get me started.
So, because it is a collaborative game. And I find that really much better. And you can play it on your own, but then you can just team up with people whenever you fancy.
That's true.
I don't mind FPS games when it's that. It's only when you are completely out of your depth and you're faced with pro players. Part of my job, I'm very lucky to go around the world playing video games at times. And one of the things I used to do almost annually was go to the biggest Call of Duty launch in LA with the whole of the community and the pro players. And I used to get panic attacks when they sort of would sit me down and say, right now you're going to play it. Because I'm playing with these people who are no mugs. They're only there because they do it perfectly. So eventually the Activision sort of sussed this out. And so what it eventually did on the last couple that I went is it put me on the celebrity and footballer table. But people who have clearly never played the game before.
Just lowers the expectation levels
just
a little bit.
They're just there for the free lunch, mate. Brilliant. Yeah,
I remember once doing
an expert.
I remember once doing a press trip. I think it was to see Volition, so it would have been like a Red Faction game, or it might have been Saints Row or something. And basically they had a multiplayer demo set up, and it was to play as the other team. They had the developers, and it was like all the journalists in one room, all the developers in another. They weren't playing fair, you know, they were in it to win for sure. They were just absolutely laying it. You could hear them cheering and high-fiving each other in the other room. And there's us guys, never played the game before, it's their game, just absolutely destroying us. So it's not like a great game, but absolutely,
it's like the five-a-side. Teachers versus kids we used to do at school.
Coaches versus parents. Kids versus
never
parents.
Never
done that.
Thwack.
Done that.
Okay, so moving on. I mean, we're going to have to turn these into sort of you know, quick fire kind of pointers here, because you know, we're up against the clock a little bit, and if we carry on going as well, we could be here all night, which would be great for me. Maybe not quite so great for the people who want a relatively short podcast to listen to on their commute. So, I mean, it kind of covers a few things that have gone before it. So just sort of quickly, single player, multiplayer, co-op, any kind of preferences there? Or do you just depend obviously on the game with a little bit of both, a little bit of each? Any preferences on what, you know, whether that might determine what you play?
Quickfire, I'd say co-op. If I had to choose one of the three, I think there's nothing better than playing a game with your mates and having a laugh and pushing each other off of cliffs and, you know, a Baldur's Gate 3, you know, accidentally blowing somebody up with a fireball and stuff like that. And, you know, and yeah, for me, I think gaming is a far better experience when you do it with somebody else. I think so. If I had to choose one, it would be co-op. So out of the three, but I do still enjoy single player and multiplayer. But yeah, co-op for me is definitely more fun when you do it with somebody else. 100%.
I'd have to say single player, because I inherently hate other people.
I do as well, but I do have some friends, a couple of friends, but yeah, I tend to hate people in general as well, but yeah.
But story, what drives me for gaming is story, and story tends to be better within a single player scenario.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that would probably be my most important preference. Also, even something like Football Manager, you're constantly making up the story in your own head.
Yeah.
So you're making up that story, and that's what role playing is, and that's why I've always loved that more than anything else.
Got a suit for the cup finals and everything.
Yeah, I have actually sat in my Liverpool strip whilst managing Liverpool before. Genuinely have.
That's commitment to the cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a bit similar. I tend to play single player games, and like as you mentioned with Battlefield, I play a few multiplayer games, but I think I prefer single player. But it's more because I'm quite kind of explorative in when I'm gaming. I want to explore every corner. I want to find everything. I want to find every loot chest, every collectible. And if you're playing that with other people, it doesn't really work quite so well because there's always going to be one guy that just goes running off into the distance in the
Yeah,
middle of the game.
100%.
Well,
Yeah,
that will be
or
me. Go look on that rooftop. There might be a chest
then
up
there's the other guy that examines every single gun he picks up, and he
there.
goes, "Well, that one does one more damage, but this one's got one more defense." And he spends 10 minutes choosing between the two while you're all sat there going, you
Yeah.
know, virtually
We're
the
all dead
virtually
over
sideways glancing
here.
each other. Do you know what I mean? Even though you're on opposite ends of the country, so yeah, I get that. So yeah,
I mean,
co-op gaming does have its downsides as well.
that's partly my problem with the co-op things, in the fact that I normally just cock about. So nobody wants to play co-op with me anyway.
Yeah, I will say, some of the better gaming experiences I've had have been the incidental ones where you have the kind of single player multiplayer combined, which is a little bit with Fallout 76, as I mentioned, where you have lots of players playing in a similar world, in the same world. So you could be running about doing your thing in single player, and then you'll run into somebody else who just happens to be in your game world. And you get those kind of 5 minutes maybe where you're both on the same path and you're helping each other. You're both kind of clued into it, clearing the town, both of you get the loot and then go off on your way, kind of mentally high-fiving each other as you
Diablo
go.
does that really
That's
well,
cool.
actually. Diablo is fantastic.
So yeah, there's always some good fun to be had. But again, it's whatever floats your collective boat. I suppose, some people
100%,
obviously
yeah.
going to be hardcore multiplayer players. Some people just happy sitting on a couch playing FIFA with the mates kind of thing. So whatever works. So on a similar note, do you prefer short game experiences or long immersive ones? So do you want that quick fix where you can finish a campaign in 8 hours, or do you want something that you're going to get 120 hours out of, just and you can just absorb yourself in over a year or a lifetime?
That mine, it has to be a long-term experience. I think Ubisoft gets a really bad rep sometimes, but
Rightly so, but
well, it's a contentious issue, but I do love, there are certain games where they've just gone so overboard that it's ridiculous. But I do love a really good action adventure that lasts a long time, as long as it's not just repetition. You know, as long as you're not expected to do a billion side missions, I'm a sucker for a side mission. I'll go off and I'll do every side mission. I remember doing Dragon Age. What was the last one? Dragon Age Origins, that
Inquisition.
Inquisition. And I did all the side missions before really carrying on with the story. I did every side mission you could, and then did a bit of story, and then all the side missions that had unlocked. By the time I got to the end boss, I went and he was dead. I mean, genuinely, I'd overpowered myself. But so something like that that floats me boat. I'm really into that. Baldur's Gate 3 was just fantastic for that. It was
Great game.
unbelievably good, that game.
I mean, I'm kind of the same as we mentioned about all the sort of the adventure games. I've played some of the titles that I've mentioned. You're just basically endless if you do want to do all the side quests and exploration and all the other stuff that comes with it. But I will generally have a quick fire game on the side. Power Wash Simulator, I'm an absolute sucker for that because it sounds ridiculous and I get mocked for it every time I'm on like one of the TV podcasts or whatever. But
No,
it's
you're
just such a
amongst friends
comfortable
here, Ian. We
go-to.
know. We feel. We know. We know it. We know
Solidarity.
it, mate.
Something like that that you can just kind of pick up, play, drop when you want to. It doesn't really matter. Another game I had a lot of fun with was just a little cute little indie game called Unpacking, where you don't really do anything. I mean, you're nodding along, you guys sound like you might have
Yeah, I
played it,
love
but
unpacking.
yeah, and it's just something you can just play for 10 minutes. So I'll generally have one of those on the go. But yeah, when it comes to a preference, if I'm buying a game off the shelf, Then yeah, I'm kind of looking to get my money's worth. So it will be something that I can immerse myself in over a long time, because I am a sucker for the whole, basically the RPG genre, and just that kind of building your own world, becoming your own character kind of thing, and just immersing yourself in it. Gordon, are you the same? I mean,
I'd be inclined to agree, and that again goes all the way back to, originally when I got my first PlayStation, the PlayStation 1. My wife bought it for me for Christmas, and when Final Fantasy VII came out, she bought that for me, and I think that's the biggest mistake she's ever made in her life. I'd never heard of it, and she bought it for me, and it was the first time I'd ever played a Final Fantasy game. Never heard of them before then, and I was hooked immediately. And ever since then, I've been a massive fan of these big, massive RPGs that'll take you months and months and months to finish. It's interesting talking about Elden Ring. I've just been finishing through that, and we talk about multiplayer games out. You don't like playing multiplayer games because you get beat up all the time. But yeah, well, Elden Ring. Oh, I'll let Elden Ring beat me up all the time, constantly. So I'm
I can't
literally banging
play
my head off the brick wall. But the payoff is when you do beat that boss. That feeling,
it.
you cannot replicate that feeling. It might have taken you 25 attempts, and you've had to go through this dungeon so many times, and every time you get that little bit further and that little bit further and that little bit further, and then you eventually do the boss, and there'll be a massive woo go up in our house, and you'll be like, oh, that's another boss down there, so well
Yeah.
done. So yeah, the two kind of the track alongside each other. But yeah, if it's other people, if it's real people killing me, I'm not interested. But if it's a game that's killing me, then, and I know eventually I can work out how to get around it, then I'll do it. But I also do have the same as you, and this comes back to the whole Game Pass thing. I know we spoke about it last time about games like Bramble King, which was one of the most enjoyable 6 or 7, and also one of the scariest 6 or 7 hours that I've ever had. And it was just, I think I finished it in like 2 nights. Myself and my daughter played It Takes Two. It Takes Two,
Oh,
and we
yeah,
finished
great
that in a
game,
day.
superb
Did it
game.
in one sitting, and again, never heard of it. And that was a great game, and we did that in one sitting. And we got to the end, and I don't want to spoil it, but you got to the end, and you're like, well, we can never play that again. And
Yeah.
it was such a great game,
I like
so
that
good.
game so
That
much,
was
I
one
played it
sitting.
single player. That's
Did
how I
you?
could. Yeah, two controllers.
So good, mate. Wheelchair balancing, just the little competitive bits that they threw in there. Like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for
Yeah.
20 minutes until I beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So yeah, I kind of sit in both camps. But my first pro and MMOs as well. We've not talked about MMOs. That's another big thing.
Yeah.
I'll sink months of my life into. So I'm a big fan of that sort of game. So.
Okay. And what actually drives you to pick up a controller in the first place? I mean, is it when a big game comes along or a game you want to play, you're like, right, I'm going to find the time to play this game? Or do you generally have kind of windows of time that you then kind of allot video games to? I mean, for me, I kind of have to, I don't have so many commitments. I live by myself, so I don't have to worry about school runs and stuff like that. So I'll generally play when I want to. And like I said before, I generally have like three or four games on the go. So I'll just adapt whatever game I want to play based on sort of how much time I estimate I'm going to be playing for. But I don't know if you guys, obviously you've got different commitments, you might have different responsibilities and therefore different preferences or different ways to choose what to play or when to play.
Yeah, sorry, but gaming for me, it's my hobby. It's what I do. So it's what I do in my spare time. So when I've got spare time, I'll game, and it fits into my life, as my hobby. Some people go and play football. Some people go out and get drunk. Some people will go and ride their motorbike. Some people work on cars. Gaming is what I do. It's my hobby. So yeah, I kind of fit in. And yeah, I think it's no exaggeration to say that I do game 7 nights a week. Sometimes I might not start till a bit later. Sometimes I might start a bit earlier. Sometimes I might spend an all weekend day gaming, but then I might go a couple of days where I don't play at all, where I'm doing something else, or because I don't play handheld, when we go away to a festival or we go in the camper or something like that, I won't play for 5 or 6 days. So yeah, but it's definitely it's what I do, it's what I enjoy doing, and the escapism that it gives you, I think, if you've never experienced it, you just it's hard to describe. It's like reading a book, but it's there in front of you, and you are physically in it.
Yeah.
The book is great. You can visualize it in your head, but to actually see it on the screen and actually be in it and be a part of it, and have an influence on this world that's around you. I think you can't beat that. Some of the worlds that these people create these days are just they're just stunning. You know, you can literally just stand there and look around and go, I can't believe I'm in this. This is it's here in front of me. You know, it's just it's unbelievable.
So will you go into that time with a game in mind, or will you think time to game, what should I play? Do you have one way around or the other?
No, I think I'll go into it. And sometimes I do sit down in front of my computer and go, nah, can't be bothered. I'll almost have too much choice, you know. But then a game will get its hooks into me, and that'll be it. And then I'll be at work thinking about strategy. I know Valheim was like that when it first came out. You know, I'd be sat at work thinking about how we were going to conquer this next bit. You know, and it kind of takes over your whole life. But you know that there are sometimes when you'll just sit down and you'll just pick up whatever you've got, and there's so much choice. I think there's almost too much choice these days. You know, you fire up Game Pass, and you're like, I mean, you let it choose a random game for you, but that doesn't work for me because you know I need to know a little bit about what I'm playing. But the choice of games these days is just it's just ridiculous. But it, you know, it's such good eating at the minute. You can't beat it. You really can't.
How
Yeah,
about
pretty.
you? What drives you?
Well, picking up on that, Game Pass is both a fantastic, incredible thing, but also a burden. Because I will sit down, I'll go, right, I want to play something new tonight. I don't want to play bloody FIFA. I want to do something else. And you're just faced with a sea of icons. And you think, oh, I will switch off the console entirely and I'll just walk away because it's just too much choice can sometimes not be a good thing. So, you know, it's a weird thing is Game Pass, but certainly people shouldn't complain about how much it costs because it is an unbelievable world of gaming that we didn't have when we were younger. It's genuinely. But in terms of how I play, I mean, I'll tend to play roughly the same times every single day. Like whenever my wife goes to bed at the night, I'll play for a couple of hours. But also, I'm very lucky. I work from home mainly, so I built myself a garden office stroke man cave. So I have it all at my disposal. Literally, I just turn around, I can sit down on a couch and then start gaming. So I'll often just find little breaks. And my point on that is that I have for a long time considered gaming therapy. And the reason why is because it allows me to zone out and it allows me to relax and it allows me to shake off the stresses of something that I might be doing or something that might have happened. And I can just get away from it. And in many ways, that's how FIFA came about for me and Football Manager before it, that I could just focus entirely on this one thing. FIFA and EA Sports FC 24 are the worst things for therapy in the fact that I f often find myself just screaming at a television at a teenager from Doncaster. So it's not the greatest, but at least it keeps my mind. And when I sort of walk away from it, it's almost like that stress has left, and I've left behind. And that's for me. That's what gaming is now for me. It used to be something totally different when I was younger, but now very much that thing where I can just unwind. Talking about MMOs very quickly, my dad is 76 and he still plays Neverwinter every single day of his life. Every single day. He's finished A Shadow of the Erdtree as well. So
That's no feat.
he absolutely, because he's retired, I mean, he spends all day every day playing games. And he even bought a second
That's the
monitor.
dream.
He bought a little monitor so he can play them next to the couch so that my mum can actually watch the telly while he's playing with his headset on. I mean, genuinely.
Life sold.
And again, and he sees it as therapy. It keeps his mind off of the stresses and the worries of the world.
And again, when you go into your gaming, do you have that game in mind when you go to pick up the controller, or do you like to sit down and then think, open
Generally,
up the thing and say, what am I
yeah,
going to go for?
generally it will be. But as you would know yourself, Ian, that when you review games for a living, or and you get sent a lot of games, you have a lot of good intention to play something to the conclusion, but you never get there. You kind of go, okay, I'll play this, and you play it for about a week, and then suddenly something else has dropped, and you have to play it. It's not like you suddenly go, okay, I'll put that to one side for a choice. You go, right, I've got to now invest some time into this. So it then becomes harder to go back. And muscle memory in gaming is really difficult to re-pick up, especially some of the tougher games. So if you've put it aside for some time, then you will offer, honestly, you go back to it, you go, I can't play this. I'm at a level where my skill set no longer works. I can't remember how to play this game. And that
and you can't be bothered teaching yourself again, yeah. Can you? That's
well,
the thing.
The
you don't
amount
want to
of
go
times
through it again.
I have replayed a game thinking I hadn't finished it. I did this with Arkham Knight. And I got to the very end. I went, oh, for God's sakes, I had finished it. And I knew exactly what the ending was and everything. And yeah. I went, oh, God, I've just wasted another 40 hours. So, but hey, it was enjoyable 40 hours. I've just started Cyberpunk 2077 again because I don't play Phantom, the DLC without playing through it with the same character.
So
I've just restarted that again.
Cracking game, mate. Loved it.
I'm the same. Like, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, there was a forum thread about asking whether you replay video games. And yeah, a lot of the time, I'm the same when it comes to playing it, you end up having to play a lot of games. And it's not so much the muscle memory for me, it's the kind of forgetting where I was and what I was doing, like my incentives and motivations when you're in a game. So the amount of I mentioned No Man's Sky a few times. I must have restarted that like 3 or 4 times because I kind of get playing into it. Then I get distracted by other stuff for 6 months and I think, I could just go back and pick up from where I left off, but I don't really remember where that was or what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah. So you start again.
I'll just start again. And then it's the never-ending cycle. Elden Ring's another one. I'm going to be playing that till I die. I'm never going to finish it. I don't know why I keep restarting it, but, you know, you have a good time playing it. So why not?
That's it, yeah.
Why
not?
I've redone that bit with the wagons right at the beginning over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Really good at stealth killing all those guys and getting those two loot chests.
And I still muck it up.
Okay. We're starting to run out of time. I did have a few other questions, but I think we've covered kind of a lot of them already. I was going to go a little bit more into sort of Game Pass and whether the whole digital revolution, so to speak, has changed the way you change. And I think pretty much a standard that it has, just simply because we've never had access to this many games. You know, beforehand you'd walk down to the shop, you know, you'd spend an hour in there looking at the back of boxes, making a decision based off that. Now everything's online. And you could look something up, read a review, download it, be playing it in a matter of minutes, as long as you've got a decent sort of broadband connection.
I think that, just as a final point to that as well, is that it's very much music has gone the same way. And my kids don't understand that when I was 16, I would go to Andy's Records in Elgin High Street and I had a fiver and I bought one LP. And that one LP, that was the only thing I could listen to for the next 3 weeks. So and I couldn't take it back because I'd have recorded it. And that's what I say, you know, so you had to make sure that it was right. And you knew it. And I still know records that I bought in the 80s. I could sing you word for word the entire album.
Yeah,
I can't remember what I had for tea yesterday, but I can recite like Iron Maiden's Rime of the Ancient Mariner word for word, all 13 minutes of it. And I think gaming is the same. And you know, and now there's so much choice that you think you pick up a record, not a CD, but you'll put it on Spotify. You go, that's rubbish. Get rid of it. Next. That's rubbish. Get rid of it. Next. And gaming's going the same way now, whereas before you didn't have a choice. You had to play it to its conclusion because it was the only one that you could afford.
And the sad part about the gaming side of that is that a developer spends a hell of a lot of time on that game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
You know, some of them games that are instantly dismissible might have taken 3 years of someone's life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Which is
that but is because there's so much choice, if there wasn't so much choice, then you would persevere almost sometimes with a game that if it didn't grab you within the first attempt. Now, kids these days, if it doesn't grab them within the first 5 minutes, not interested, move on.
Quick point on it is that back in the day when you bought a bad game, if you bought a game and it turned out not to be as what you expected, you would still play it.
Yeah, of course you would.
Still play
it to
its conclusion because you've just spent, even just the £1.99 on it, if it was an game back on the Spectrum. But you would play it and play it and play
it.
Because you only had, three games? Whereas now, if it's a bad game, it's instant. It's like, no, well, that's rubbish. Even if it gets better, you will never know.
Yeah. No, you'll never know. Yeah.
But I guess the flip side to that, like something like Game Pass, is that means you will probably play a lot of games that you wouldn't have even looked at.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah, that's
you talk about
thing,
Dungeons of Hindenburg. I just downloaded Kiritsugami. Path of the Goddess, and I wouldn't buy that. I wouldn't actively seek it out, but I'll play it now just because it's there and it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's not rude, it's not too, but it's like I'll give it a whirl because I've got nothing to lose, so
kind of
hopefully balance that. I know, and I will kind of persevere even if the game sucks a little bit. even if it's Battlefield 2042 and I'm still playing it years later. You know, I knew it wasn't great, but yeah, I'll stick with it. I'll stick with it. Okay, well, yeah, we are rapidly running out of time. We did try to keep it to around an hour if we can. I think we're just about hitting that mark. So that just about wraps things up for some of the key discussion points that we've talked about. Obviously, anybody listening wants to have their say on any of the topics we've discussed, then you're more than welcome to drop us a message. It's any of the various comment sections, whether it be on AB forums, YouTube channel, anywhere you're watching or listening to this. As an example of which, previously we asked the question about whether games are too expensive. And we've got a few responses from the YouTube channel. So if we want to delve into a few of those just quickly, Rick, seeing as you weren't around for the last podcast, we were basically asking whether video games were too expensive. So if you've got the list in front of you, you can see some of the responses.
I haven't, sadly. I had it.
Okay. Well, we can, Gordon, have you got the list open?
I've got the list in front of me. Yeah.
We can jump to you. And then, Rick, if you want to weigh in with any kind of opinions about some of the responses, now. Then feel free to.
Yeah. So Matthew R. Simpson said, I remember in the early 80s, the Atari 2600 games were £30 then. That was almost a week's wages for some. Yeah. He's absolutely right. Shadow Fox Games says, video games should cost different prices. The max should be $69.99 for something like The Witcher 3, but it's a race to the bottom for things like Order 1866, where it's just too damn short to justify £60 at launch. BG Badness says, some video games are way, way too expensive. He then goes on to talk about Elden Ring, about it costing $80. Stung the bank account, but never once thought about wondering if it wasn't worth the price. Same with Baldur's Gate 3, 100% agree with that. And he puts Shadows of the Erdtree could be full price, and I probably wouldn't complain too much. And as it turns out, it was full price, but it's still a great game. That's how you do DLC. And he's then put, if something is great, it deserves to be rewarded hugely. Meanwhile, Modern Warfare 3 is premium priced. To say that, I'd not buy that game for minus 75%. And again, but it's still the most popular, best-selling game in the world. So, you know, why try and fix something that's not broken? And then Dante 1989-0 says they are definitely too expensive to make, he says.
Probably. But then,
probably.
Yeah, it's a lot of people to make a video game.
Just one other comment, which I thought was really good. Sorry, mate, just to cut you off there. BG Badness also said, gamers are far smarter than most companies seem to think. And I do tend to agree with that. And I think we've just seen this week that review bombing does work. You know, we've seen EA backtrack on the whole Apex Legends about not being able to buy the battle pass with Apex coins. They've backtracked on that because their game got review bombed, and you know, and I think sometimes gamer power does work for some of these developers that do try and take the mick a little bit. So, you know, keep doing it. That's all I would say. If it doesn't work, do it.
Sure, I wouldn't say all gamers are smarter than most companies. I wouldn't be myself in that same category at all. But Rick, I mean, we obviously, some of the comments there talking about whether video games are too expensive. We explored this in detail in the previous podcast. So just what would be your take on it? I mean, obviously, there are some great games that offer great value for money. Others, maybe not so much. But it's a lot of money to ask of anybody to splash out.
£70
for a standard game.
I mean, it's ridiculous how expensive they've become. And it actually reflects entirely back to the beginning of gaming. If you remember the Atari 2600, the games cost almost as much as the console. So you would buy the console for £200, which would be around £600 today. But each game was about £100 equivalent of. So I mean, they were hugely expensive back then.
Yeah,
and we see going back towards that. However, and this is always because I still buy games, but I always wait for sales, and they are regular. They are often and regular, and all AAA games will be in a sale within 2 months. There's an analogy with the video industry and the movie industry, and the fact that if you go to the cinema, it costs an awful lot of money to see a film. You get a better experience, arguably, but if you do wait 2 months, it's going to be available for a lot less money, and you can sit down and enjoy it without people around you, which is
a topic for the next podcast. Don't even get me started on that, but there you go.
I'm sure the movies guys have been there.
But that is the thing.
Probably.
I always pick up my big games, not when they first come out, but when they arrive in sales. I did that with Baldur's Gate 3. I certainly didn't regret that, because I think I bought it for £35. And
That's 35 quid well spent there, my
well
friend.
worth it, well
Yeah.
worth it. So that would be what I would advise. Unfortunately, certain games like the latest FIFA or the latest Call of Duty, people rush to buy those because obviously you want to get in at the ground level and you don't want to miss a season, for example. And I can see that, but then the in-app purchases get you anyway. There is what we do have to remember, and it is easy to forget, is that games are generally sold to you by corporations, not by your friends. You
They
know,
are
it's
in it to
like
make money
buying,
after all.
cereal. The developers are totally different. Developers have always got your interests at heart. Never forget that. You know, some developers like CD Projekt Red got absolutely slated for the cyberpunk problems, but they didn't do that on purpose. They did that because they unfortunately they had to get that game out somehow. But they have more than made up for it ever since.
So I give a similar shout out to Hello Games with No Man's Sky. When it came out,
Yeah,
had its issue.
absolutely. 100%.
And then since then, it's just free updates all the time. People are like, stop giving us more free stuff. It's too much gameplay. You know, I'm having to restart the game every time they send out these updates. It's too much. But there are some
Techland is
good games
another
out there.
development group that the Dying Light 2 came out was a bit, everybody sort of went, oh, there's not an awful lot to do. And that, my God, the amount of content that they've put out for free is extraordinary.
Other manufacturers, please take note. Okay, so we just need to wrap up with a little bit more admin, just to make people aware of a wealth of competitions that we currently have on the AV Forums website. I've got a bunch of hardware competitions just to quickly run through for you to make you aware of. These are open to AV Forums members, so pretty much anybody, if you're signed up to the website, is welcome to get involved. Among the many competitions we have, you can win a single Oslo home cinema seat worth £1,400, courtesy of Valencia Theatre Seating. Apparently, it features Italian top-grain Nappa leather, powered headrest, lumbar adjustments, hidden arm storage, and LED lighting. So perfect. That competition's open until 11:59 p.m. on Friday, the 31st of August. So you've got a little bit of time to get your entry in for that one. Similar closing date, you can also win £500 to spend with MPB. For those not aware, MPB is the largest global platform to buy, sell, and trade in used photo and video gear. So very worth getting your hands on £500 to spend with those guys if you can. Also up for grabs, you can win the Denon AVR X1800H AVR, which is worth £699. That prize comes courtesy of Peter Tyson. For those not familiar with the AVR, 7.2 AV receiver, it's been reviewed favorably on the site by a very own Martin Dew, so you could also check out the review if you want to see what you're getting your hands on. But being with a shout, you'll be in it to win it. That competition closes just before midnight on Friday, the 2nd of August, so not quite so long to get your entry in for that one. Also on offer, we have a pair of Haydnese headphones from the French hi-fi brand Focal. These brand new headphones haven't been up for very long, worth £599. And have been put up as a prize courtesy of AV.com. Definitely worth getting your hands or possibly your ears on those if you can. That competition is open till Sunday, the 11th of August of this year, obviously. So not too long to get your entry in. Little bit more of a pressing competition prize is a pair of Q Acoustics M40 powered micro tower speakers. Also come with a pair of QED digital cables worth a total of £1,069. So that's a lot of hi-fi gear if you're interested. We recently reviewed, well, not we, but AV Forums recently received them, gave them a full 10 out of 10 review and a Best in Class award. So if you want some quality speakers, that's something worth getting your name in the hat for. But that competition is only open till Wednesday, July the 31st. So depending on when you're listening to this, you've either got to move very fast or unfortunately you're too late. So a little reassurance, a little reminder maybe, just to keep your eye on the AV Forums website so you don't get to miss out on any of these competitions. But one you do have a bit more time to get your name in the hat for, and the last one on the list, I promise you, is you can win a streaming system worth £2,400. And this includes a Roxana Tesser integrated streaming amplifier and some Monitor Audio Silver 107G bookshelf speakers. You've got until August the 28th to get your name in the hat for that one. For all those competitions and many more, there's also a bunch of DVDs. You'll be able to find Blu-rays, 4K discs. Those are available to patrons and standard AVF members to win. The general competitions are open to all AV Forum members as long as you're 18 over and resident in the UK. Just head over to, if you're not sure, head over to avforums.com/competitions. You'll find all the competitions listed there and obviously all the terms and conditions if you do want to enter. So yeah, good luck to those if you want to get involved. But as far as this gaming podcast goes, that is very much it for this podcast. I'd like to thank my guests, Gordon Balfour and Rick Henderson. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure
no
having
problem.
You on the...
Thank you. Been a pleasure, as always.
And if you're interested in hearing more, the next episode in the AV Forums list will be the Hi-Fi edition, which will be available from Monday, the 5th of August. This will be followed in consecutive. This will be followed, sorry, the following week by the TV Display and Calibration podcast on the 12th of August. After that will be the Home AV Guys. That podcast will be available from the 19th of August. And finally, the Movies and TV Shows podcast will be available from 7 p.m. on Monday, the 26th of August. As for us, the next gaming podcast will be available from Monday, the 30th of September. So just a couple of months to wait for the next one. And that will be when the silly season of gaming starts. So hopefully we'll have some very big games to be talking about when that one rolls along. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, by all means, please do give us a like, subscribe to the AV Forums podcast channel on YouTube, do all the good stuff, hit the notification bell, tell your friends, and just make sure, hopefully, you don't miss out on the next one. So yeah, subscribe, like the podcasts, and if you really have enjoyed what you've heard, you're more than welcome to buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. As mentioned, all that money basically goes into making the next podcast and making things bigger and better, so hopefully we can maybe do this a little more often and a little bit better, who knows. My name's Ian Collin. Thank you once again for watching and listening, and hopefully we'll see you all again soon. Goodbye.